This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Deborah Amos. The Democratic Republic of Congo and the Chinese government have made a deal that gives China access to Congo's natural resources, and in return, Congo gets China's help building a transportation network. The deal, however, has made Westerners nervous. NPR's Gwen Tompkins has the third report in a five-part series on China's role in Africa.
If music is the fastest way to communicate emotion to the human heart, then this is the Congolese version of Beethoven's Ode to Joy. It is a rare morning in the Democratic Republic of Congo. In the southern province of Katanga, near the Zambian border, the powerful are much pleased by the announcement to come. There are lawmakers and majorettes, celebrities, a red carpet, and a raised stage. Chinese construction workers in baby blue jumpers are setting the Chinese flag just so. And Congo's president, Joseph Kabila, is here, wearing a black leather jacket with a Mandarin collar. This is the day when Congo and its Chinese partners unveil plans to build a 1,000-mile road from the Zambian border to northeastern Congo. The folks here are excited about the first 45 miles.
We want to strengthen the support and solicitude of the government of China and its assistance to the reconstruction of this road and the restoration of the mines of Congo.
That's Liu Kong Hong. He heads the company that will construct the road. To be honest, not everyone understood all he had to say. The Congolese speak French, and Liu speaks Mandarin. But really, who cared on a day such as this?
Long life for the cooperation between Congo and China. Thank you.
The Congolese expect to get more investment in their country from China than they've gotten from any single Western power in years. And Congo desperately needs infrastructure. After 30 years of government-sanctioned thievery under Mobutu Sese Seko, the country is literally in the hole. The roads have divots big enough to store luggage in. Charles Berindwa is a border patrol officer where Congo meets neighboring Zambia.
Since the reign of Mobutu, the roads were not repaired since 32 years.
32 years?
Yeah, 32 years.
This is what it sounds like to drive around here. Hundreds of trucks cross every day on this road, loaded with ore and much-needed food imports. One pickup heading north this morning is carrying more than 50 mattresses, stacked like a traveling roadshow of the Princess and the Pea.
Prenez les routes d'intérêt national.
You take all the roads of national interest.
Vous prenez les routes d'intérêt provincial.
And you take the road of provincial interest.
Vous prenez les routes d'intérêt local.
And you take also the road of local interest.
Ça fait un total de 100 000 kilometers au moins.
Total is 100,000 kilometers.
Godfrey Muyombo is the vice prime minister of Congo. 100,000 kilometers is about 60,000 miles of road that Congo needs to repair. Muyombo was born in a village in western Congo, but he says even in a four-wheel drive,
there is a risk that I wouldn't reach my village.
But not everyone in Congo is excited about this deal.
For me, it's not clear how they will do their business here. There is no transparency.
Guy Severin is the Belgian consul general. He and others suspect that the Chinese are not competing by the same rules as the other mining interests here. They also worry that China's billions could end up unaccounted for in Congo, where corruption is rife.
If there is a deficit of information, you don't know what to think, so you become suspicious. You think they are doing things behind your back.
Okay, so here's what is generally known about the deal. Congo and China are forming a massive mining company called Sokomin. Congo will own 32%, and China will own 68%. The Chinese are putting up all the money to build the facility, and they're putting up all the money to build the rail lines and roads that will help get the ore back to China. They're also building some hospitals along the way. But the money isn't free. It will take the form of loans to the Congolese government. Congo will pay China back with copper and cobalt and road tolls until China recovers its investment. And once the money is paid off, the two countries will split Sokoman's profit.
And I couldn't give two hoots about this loan.
John Skinner runs a mining and roadworks company here. He says the deal means much more to China than money ever could.
This loan is part of the mega surplus that China gets from trading with the United States. They don't know what to do with this money. And $9 billion to the Chinese, it's not a big amount of money.
Now Skinner's going to tell you how China comes out ahead.
Then look at the benefits. Number one, they're getting to do the infrastructure with Chinese companies. Number two, they get a stake in a mega mine, which guarantees a huge supply of copper into the future for Chinese industry. Number three, it gives them a serious foothold in Africa.
Western companies say they've had to jump through far more hoops to do business in Congo than the Chinese. They must adhere to Congo's mining code, which may or may not apply to the Chinese. And they pay taxes and royalties that the Chinese won't have to pay. As one exasperated mining executive said in his office, "We invest in their country during the worst of their civil wars, and this is how they repay us?"
Who allowed the Chinese to come here? It's you guys.
Moise Katumbi is the provincial governor here. He says that while the West helped bring about democratic elections in Congo, economic investment has been slow. But the Chinese come checkbook in hand.
You are the governor. You put yourself on my place. You don't have road. Are you going to refuse?
Congo's leaders stress that they are open to doing business anytime with any nation. And that suits Liu Kong-hong just fine.
We can also do other projects because there is a lot of projects here.
After today's ceremony, Liu and other Chinese company executives smoked cigarettes and drank soda pop in their construction offices while a crowd of Congolese made a racket outside. Liu and his colleagues talked mostly about the road they're building, but perhaps the map on the wall underscored China's greater ambitions for the continent. It was a map of Africa, written entirely in Chinese. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Kasumbalesa, Congo.
Tomorrow, opposition to China's involvement in Zambia.
Today, the Chinese are not here as investors. They are here as invaders.
That's tomorrow on Morning Edition.